When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you ever see a successful woman on your feed or in a magazine and think, wow, it must be nice to have it so easy? Well, think again. Behind that glossy cover or smiling face is a ton of hard work, countless failures, and endless learning experiences. I'm Rebecca Minkoff, and I'm here to tell you that success isn't a walk in the park. It takes grit, resilience, and a willingness to take risks. That's why I created Superwoman. A podcast that peels back the varnish and gets into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to make it as a woman in today's world. From luminaries and game changers to women you've never heard of but should, this podcast is here to inspire you to take your next leap, no matter how daunting it may seem. We'll explore the sacrifices these women have made, the highs and lows they've experienced, and the lessons they've learned along the way. So if you're ready to be inspired and learn from some of the most successful women out there, join me on Superwomen. Together, we'll uncover the stories behind the successes and prove that with hard work, determination, and a little bit of luck, anything is possible.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superwoman. Today's guest is my dear friend, Lydia Finette. She is a multi-hyphenate. She is an incredible auctioneer with a 24-year career at Christie's, a two-time author of books, Claim Your Confidence and the Most Powerful Woman in the Room is You, and she just launched her agency, the Lydia Finette Agency, which has 12 auctioneers that go around the country raising money for incredible nonprofits. We talk about how to remain confident, how to find other successful people to help boost you in your career, and what it takes to actually make it in any industry. Take a listen. I am so excited to have you on, Miss Lydia Finette.
Oh my gosh, Rebecca, I've been looking forward to this all day. I can't even tell you. It feels like I get to hang out with a friend for half an hour.
I know. So for those listening, we are friends.
Yes, we are friends.
So some of the questions I ask, because I know her so intimately. So we met
in
New York, and I loved your book, and you have another one coming out, Claim Your Confidence.
It's out. Yes, it is out. So The Most Powerful Woman in the Room is You was my first book, and Claim Your Confidence was really the follow-up. It took me almost 4 years to actually put pen to paper again after it because COVID happened, but it felt like a really natural extension because after I wrote that book, the one question I was getting all the time was, how do you stay confident? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I become more confident? And at first, I was kind of like, am I the authority on this? But Actually, I have a lot of confidence because I've put myself out there a lot, as you have. And I've been hit from a lot of angles. And I've learned how to rebound. And I've learned how to do it with grace and not to let it push me down to a place where I won't get back up.
I have so many questions about that, which I'll ask because I want to rewind and say, you started out in the auction industry. Mm-hmm. I want to go there first and then we'll get to like how you built your confidence. So you start with did you always know you wanted to go into that arena?
No. Oh my gosh, no. I didn't even know the auction world existed. I grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana, which if you're listening from Lake Charles, hello, which is a small town, but it's a small town in the South. I mean, there are probably 100,000 people who live there, but there is not an art collecting community. There's no museum, or if there is, there wasn't when I was little. And, you know, my parents are great in the sense that my mom is British. So we actually have a lot of family in England. So I spent a lot of time in England as a child visiting my mom's sisters. And we would go to museums, and my parents would take us to museums anytime we traveled. I knew art existed. I did not realize that there was a business around it.
Right.
And in New York, it's such a part of what you see. You know, if something sells at Christie's or Sotheby's, it'll be on the cover of the New York Times. But most people don't know anything about the auction world. And when I was in college, I read an article in Vanity Fair magazine about Princess Diana, who, again, my mom is British. So, you know, Princess Diana for all of us. Yes, I have a sapphire ring. Princess Diana for everyone in my family. You know, we watched the royal wedding when I was a kid. My mom talked about Princess Diana. I think my mom had Princess Diana's haircut for most of my life, to be honest. And, you know, it captured my imagination. This article was all about the sale of her dresses at a place called Christie's in New York on Park Avenue. And everyone who went to this was well-dressed. And the people who worked there were on the phones dealing with, you know, silent bidders. And it really was kind of everything I've ever wanted out of my life, like glamour,
you
intrigue.
Knew it.
I knew that I had to be involved with Christie's, this place. And I started talking to people about it. You know, I've never read Oprah's The Secret, but I will say I have found that that is a really good philosophy to just tell everyone. And my dad is the ultimate networker in life. He's never met a stranger, truly. And we were at a cocktail party in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And my dad's friend had a friend's daughter at the party. And she had just started working as an assistant at Christie's. And when I tell you, you know, I remember I told someone that in an interview for Cup of Joe once, and I will never forget, because you never forget the nasty comments, right? You can't remember the good ones, but the nasty ones really stay with you. And somebody said, well, isn't that the definition of connections? And I was like, I don't think you understand. I had never met anyone in my entire life who worked for Christie's. So this was literally, this person was put in my life at that moment for a very specific reason.
Yeah.
And that to me just felt like an opportunity. She gave me the internship coordinator's information. I called her, you know, with all the bravado of a girl who has no idea about the internship programs in New York City that are stuffed with friends of friends' kids, especially in the art world 20 plus years ago. And I was like, you know, hi, Miss Libby, this is Lydia Finette. I'm calling. And I was just wondering if there was any chance I could get an internship.
Did you have a Southern accent like
yes,
that?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
Okay.
And, I love this. And at this point, I was back in college. I'd gone to the University of the South in Tennessee. So my accent was swinging, you know. And I said, I was just wondering, you know, if I could get an internship. And she was like, oh, honey, you know, it's April. These internships have been closed since January. And it was just one of those things I was like, oh, okay. And phone hangs up. But then over 20 years ago, there was no caller ID. So you could call anyone you wanted as many times. They never had any idea who was on the other end.
Right.
And that really became the best part of the whole equation, because I called her pretty much every day for 2 weeks and asked her the same question. It was like, well, I know you said that it's full, but surely there's a waiting list. And she was kind of like, not really. You know, it's so loosey-goosey. She was like, well, kind of. Could I be put on that waiting list? And she's like, I'll put you on this fake auction list or whatever. And then after 2 weeks, we'd gotten to the point where I could tell she was getting annoyed by the calls. It wasn't cute anymore.
Right.
The Southern accent was wearing off quickly, I think. And I remember she said to me, okay, so it's not available. And as I said, like, there's not really a wait list, but we'll put you on. And I said, can I just ask you a question? If the internship program is unpaid, which it is, why is there a cap of 30 people, which she had told me on one of my many calls earlier that week? And she said, because unfortunately, the docents at the museums where the kids go in the afternoon.
The what?
The docents, like the people who take you around the museums.
Oh, okay.
Won't take more than 15 people. And the interns can only, you can only do two groups of 30, like with two groups of 15 with 30 people. So we can only have 30 people. And I mean, remember that I did not say anything about art being on my list of why I wanted to work at Christie's. And so I said, well, I don't have to go to the museum. I could just stay. And then maybe if somebody doesn't come, I could go on the museum trips. And I like to say, you know, of course I went on every museum trip, because these are college kids and half of them didn't show up because
right.
they were friends of friends' kids and they didn't take it seriously. But I did. And we've known each other long enough to know, and we've had this conversation many times, that what ultimately sets you apart from other people is eagerness and hard work.
Yep.
Because those are the two things it's very hard to find in people. And I know that every single person who ever had me on their team as an intern would tell you that I walked in with a smile on my face. I was there before anyone else. I was like, what do you guys, do you need me to wipe the table for breakfast? I mean, it was like they didn't even know what to do with me, because
yeah.
I would do anything just to stay there.
Yep.
And that's really been a defining quality of my entire career. Like, I will do anything, truly.
Yeah.
And I don't care, because I think it's all part of the process.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I operated that way too. And then I watch like these people and they're on their phones doing God knows what.
Yeah.
Don't text you back. Like, you're just like, what? Like, how are you going to find success? And maybe their definition of success is different than ours. But
yeah.
I love in hearing you tell your story and in reading your book, like, you worked your fucking ass off.
I did. I did. And I still do. Right. I mean, you follow me on Instagram. I'll be the first 2 weeks of May. I'm in on the West Coast 3 times in 9 days and on stages every single night between them. And people look at me and they're like, how, you know, why do you do this? Like, how do you do this? I'm like, because this is my job and I right. love it.
Right.
And I am literally providing for my family while I do this.
Right.
So if I want to do the things that I want to do, I got to get on those stages.
Mama got to work.
And mama loves to work. And I'm right. showing my kids what that looks like real time.
Right.
And they understand that hard work is what gets you where you want to go. That and ingenuity.
Do you feel like, I want to go back, but I have to ask this question. They see you work hard and you say they know that. Mm-hmm. But do you ever encounter, because being in New York and being exposed to so much, the bar is sort of higher for our children in terms of like what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And then like at least it's changing a little bit. But my daughter, I'll be like, nope, got to earn it. Nope, got to earn it. Yeah. Nope, got to earn it.
Yeah.
And she'll just be like, I don't want it that bad.
Yeah.
Except for once when she wanted it so bad, she like drove me crazy by working.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, actually, I don't know that I want you to work this hard.
Do you, so how have you gotten your kids to understand and like know it deep down? Or?
Well, I think that it's really important when I say to them, you know, for instance, my daughter has just this ongoing battle with her teeth. I mean, I can't even go into this. If you're a parent, it's just like, I think your kid either has good teeth or you just end up at the orthodontist for years. And we're like 5 years into the orthodontist. And now we're in the second phase of braces, which I didn't even realize there was such a thing. And braces are not inexpensive, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. And we've already done one set for her. And so I was at the doctor's office and she was standing next to me and they told me the price for the second pair of braces. And I think I said to the woman at the front counter, you know, when I come in here, I never really know, am I going to get hit with no dollars or am I going to need like a mortgage on a house? Like what's the there here? And so she told me the number and my 11-year-old was standing right next to me.
Yeah.
And as we walked out, she goes, wow. And I said, yeah. And I was like, well, looks like mom is going to have to do, you know, another speech or mommy's going to have to do more auctioneering or whatever it is. And yeah. So a lot of times I equate that with that so they understand that me leaving at night is actually part of the equation that makes this engine run.
Yeah.
Another thing I really feel very strongly about, especially because I didn't grow up in a family that talked about money. We talk about money all the time with our kids. And my husband works with me and does all the books for my businesses. And we were sitting down one day to talk about the subway versus Uber, because you talk about kids in New York, they're like, why can't I have a driver? I mean, literally, you know, why can't I have a driver like so-and-so? And I'm looking at them like, are you absolutely kidding me? Why can't we take an Uber to this place? And I sat them down in October of last year and I said, you know, I was going through the expenses with Daddy, looking at the number of times that I rode the subway this year. And in October alone, I took the subway 40 times. And I was like, you know, it's basically $3. So 40 times three is $120, right? And they're all like nodding along because we take the subway to school, so they understand the subway. And I said, and you know, you guys ask me about taking Ubers all the time. And I said, I lived downtown in Tribeca and I had a speech on the Upper East Side and the place that I was doing the speech for paid for my Uber. And the Uber was $90. So with tip, it was basically the same amount as the entire month of subway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's not that we can't afford to take Ubers. It's that I choose to use that money in a different way.
Yeah, for braces.
For braces, for vacation, for things that I enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm on the subway. I live in New York City. It gets me to the top of the island in 2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And that's the way I try to teach it. I don't know that I'm going to be the best example in life. I hope that I am, but we'll see, you know, we'll see in 20 years. But I do think that as a working mom, I'm very aware of the dollars and the time that it takes me to make those dollars. And so I want to make them aware of what that looks like. Exactly. Exactly.
Right? If people could see me who aren't watching, I'm making the sound of just money like coming out of you at all times.
I know. Well, welcome to New York City. It's like you can't walk out of the door without somebody taking something.
$7 coffee this morning. I was like, wow, prices are like coffee. Oh,
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But again, you know, I choose to live here. So if I'm going to choose to live here, I have to make those decisions so that, you know, this doesn't hurt in the way that, you know, last night I had a speech uptown and it was pouring with rain and I hit Uber and it was $115 to get to Midtown.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, subway it is. And I just threw on some flats. And I mean, I looked like a drowned rat when I got there. So I pulled my hair back in a bun instead of wearing it down.
But you got to be quick.
Girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
So you to go back, you worked at Christie's as an intern. Then you got hired. And then you were at Christie's for 24 years. 24 years.
Yeah, 24 years.
And when did you know it was time to go? And what was that feeling like when you said, I'm out and here's what I'm doing next?
Well, it wasn't really that cut and dry, to be honest. I mean, it was more of an evolution. I think we'd gotten to the point, and this was on both sides, certainly. I mean, I'd said to my husband many times leading up to me finally leaving, you know, I just don't feel like my heart's in this anymore. And it's hard when you've worked at a company since you were a baby. I mean, I was 19 when I did my first internship at Christie's. And then I went back again and was hired out of my second internship because that was when I was finished with college. And I grew up there.
Yeah.
And that is such a gift in so many ways because, as I said, I was a hard worker. You know, people liked me. I had liked everyone I worked with. I liked people. I was there all the time because I ran events for my first 10 years. So I literally lived there. And it's interesting because there's a fixed perception of you when you start so young. Like, for the longest time, even after I started Strategic Partnerships and was running this global team, I would still have people calling to ask me for the best reservation recommendation because they all really saw me as the special events intern.
Right.
And no matter how good I became as a charity auctioneer, at the end of the day, people still thought of me as a 21-year-old. And I was like, I'm in my 40s, guys. I have three kids. I've taken charity auctions all over the world. And yet, as a result of that, I think even my own perception of what I could do outside of the four walls of Christie's was very much defined by what the people inside saw. And that is a very interesting feeling. And when I wrote my first book and all of a sudden I was getting a lot of praise and a lot of accolades, things started to get a little uncomfortable. It's hard when you are having success and other people see it. And I call it the coulda, shoulda, woulda. I can't tell you how many people are like, I should have written that book. And I'm like, you can write that book. I'll give you my proposal. I mean, you know me. I'm like, I'll give you anything you want. I will help you write it. I'll give you my agent's information. Mary Giuliani did all that for me. And so I'm always happy to do that. People don't do that.
Right.
It's like they want it, but they don't take the extra step.
Yep.
And so that becomes frustrating, I think, for them as well. And then over COVID, you know, I took a 40% pay cut. I'm very open. I wrote about this in my second book, Claim Your Confidence. And a lot of the people in the company had left or had been given packages, and things just didn't feel the same. Everything had become digital at that point for Strategic Partnerships, and I'm such a people person. What I always loved about Christie's was that my job was outside of the four walls, whether it be for partnerships where I was constantly meeting people and talking to people about putting together partnerships, or for the auctioneering, which was always my passion from the very beginning. I just didn't really like having to sit behind a computer and do Zoom calls 24/7 with people who I'd never interfaced with before COVID.
Right.
You know, they're dealing with like the back end of the website, which has no interest or appeal for me. And you may remember we had a really bad car accident in October of 2021.
Yeah.
And right around that time, my boss had left. And I had spoken to the president earlier that summer about becoming an ambassador for the company, which there was no appetite for at that point. And when I came back from the accident, the conversation was basically reopened. And they were like, if you want to go and not be a full-time employee but still stay on as an ambassador, we would be open to having that conversation now. It was interesting because, again, like after the accident, I'd had a spinal fusion. And I remember going in for the conversation and like I couldn't even sit down for long periods of time because I still to this day, like being on a plane for 5 hours is excruciating because I have a rod in my back. And I remember thinking like, isn't it crazy how things happen for a reason exactly when they're supposed to happen? Even though it was a car accident, like there, that's not something you should say, but it really did as I was sitting there in that moment, seemed to me that like all of these things had come to this moment and I was going to leave Christie's and this was the way it was supposed to happen.
Wow.
I know. And it's really weird. And I think a lot of people felt like, what's going on? You know, it was like sort of all this back end, like what's going on? Like Lydia's leaving. Is she leaving because she wants to? Is she leaving? Ultimately, I left because the Strategic Partnerships division was closed.
Right.
I was given the ambassadorship. It was the perfect thing for me at that time. I can't even tell you how much relief I felt in the weeks that followed that. It was like a weight had been lifted because I don't think I could have left.
Right.
It was my family. Like,
right.
The party was gone. The lights were off and I was still there being like, come on, guys.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes in life we just, you know, we can't see it. And then something like that happens and you're like, oh, it all happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's hard at that moment. I remember when I got fired from my first job, she's like, you know what you're doing, go do it. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And fuck, can I come back? She's like, no.
She's like, door's closed.
And that was what I needed at the time, right? Yeah. To go off and start my company.
Yeah.
If you're listening, you need to read the book, and especially the chapter about the car accident. I was sobbing when I read it. It's intense, it's just a testament to your strength and your and your ability to bounce back and conquer. So you leave.
I leave.
How long was it before you knew to start your agency and then write the second book?
So the second book I had written – actually, the second book I had written, it was coming out in March of 2023. So this was February of 2023, I think, at this point.
Okay.
Is that right? No. Sorry. It was a year later because everything takes a little bit longer. That was February of 2022. So I left Christie's in March of 2022. And my second book was coming out in March of 2023. So it was pretty much written at this point. And I ended it. It was interesting because I ended it I wrote the last chapter 5 weeks after the accident. So it was due December 2021. And I am, as I said, I have like a real work ethic. And I was like, I am going to get this in on deadline. I got my first book in on deadline. I wrote it in 3 months. Like, if you give me a deadline, I will hit it. That is for sure. And I remember thinking, like, I need one last chapter to kind of like close this out. And after the car accident, I was lying in bed and I was like, I think I actually could write this now. And I'll never forget. I was in my bed. I was sobbing. Like, honestly, if you read this chapter, I wrote it in one take. It was 7,000 words. I cried the whole time.
Yep.
And my husband kept walking in and out of the bedroom. He's like, we okay here? We good? We okay? Like, looking at me, and I'm just hysterically crying. I'm nodding. But I finished it, and it felt so cathartic.
I was about to say that.
Oh my God. It was like a weight had been lifted. I was able to revisit everything that had happened and really make some sense of it and how it had kind of come full circle. And we've always gone down to the Dominican Republic with my in-laws for Christmas every other year since my husband and I met almost 20 years ago. And we were going to cancel the trip. And I was just like, you know what? If I can make it on the plane down there, I can just lay there, right? That's what I'm doing in my bed anyway. And I think this would be really good for our family because the kids obviously were in the accident. My husband, everyone was recovering. I was like, I think this would be a good thing for our family to just be away right now. And so I took like 100 kinds of painkillers and like got on the plane and was like, this is a really bad idea. But then when I got there, I was like, this was actually the perfect thing.
Yeah.
And there's a loop there that I would walk a little, like I could probably walk maybe a quarter of a mile at that point, maybe. And every day I would walk a little bit further. And by the time we left, almost 2 weeks later, I was walking like a 3 mile loop. So it was really like a full process of getting better. Like I could see it happening day over day. And the last day of December 31st of 2021, I remember I was on the beach in a beach chair and I had my computer and I was like, I'm going to write the last chapter and submit right now. I'm going to get it in. And at 6 o'clock that night on like literally New Year's Eve of 2021, I wrote the last chapter of the book and hit deadline, which was a December deadline. wow. And so the last chapter of that book ends in 2021. And then I go back to Christie's and everything starts falling apart for my department. And ultimately, it was like 3 weeks later that whole thing was made. So I love Claim Your Confidence, my second book, because it is literally a time capsule. And obviously, you can edit. And I was like, I'm not going to edit that because that ended there. I put the pencil down that day and like a new life chapter started the next year. It was crazy. It was like all so crazy. And so to answer your question, the book came out in March of 2023. I was an ambassador. I had signed a year-long ambassadorship when I left in March of 2022. And I knew that there was something more. I needed that crutch, that Christie's ambassadorship after 24 years. When they asked me, I was like, of course, I want to still be with you. I love you. I want to be part of this. But over that year, what I came to realize, and this is kind of going back to what I said about fixed perception, that the perception of who I was at Christie's as an auctioneer versus the perception of who I was as an auctioneer outside of Christie's was markedly different. Mm. In that all the nonprofits that I worked with, when they heard that I was leaving Christie's, reached out and said, we don't care where you work. We just want you.
Yeah.
And I knew that on the inside, but every time I sent the email to tell them that I was leaving my full-time job, they were like, yeah, we don't care. Like it was, and then one person came back and said, Actually, it's better for us because we work with Sotheby's as well. So even if Sotheby's is sponsoring it, we could still have you auctioneer, which ultimately is what happened. And so that year that I was a Christie's ambassador, all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait.
You don't need the crutch.
I don't need the crutch. Yeah. And then a company that had split from Sotheby's, a collectible car company, had split from Sotheby's and literally approached me right after they heard I was leaving Christie's full time. Christie's doesn't have a car department. And they were like, listen, we just left Sotheby's. We have a lot of momentum. There are no female car auctioneers anywhere at the top auction houses. And we were just thinking, maybe you'd want to try that out. And I was like, what? I remember reading the email and being like, no way. This is crazy. But then I was sort of like, I'll always take a lunch meeting.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
And I sat there. And I have to say, having been at a company that you've been at for so long, where you're kind of like appreciated, but not really, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, Lydia can take the auction because she knows what she's doing. And to have people who are super enthusiastic about your skill is really unbelievable. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it really was one of those sort of like, I left that lunch and I was like, these people want me to come do this. They see value in what I do. And so I signed with them, and now I'm the female car auctioneer. I'm the lady auctioneer, as they call me, which I never thought, and it's such a fun part of my job. So that had kind of also happened. And when the contract for my ambassadorship came back up in March of 2023, it kind of sat in my inbox. And I just – it was like I knew it was there. I'd had the conversation with them, and I was like, yeah. And they said, you know, do you want to do this again next year? And I remember saying to the woman who was the liaison from Christie's, I said, I don't know yet. And I think it kind of surprised her. She was like, oh, okay. I think it was always just such a given because I've always been so complicit. I've always been just sort of like, yes, of course. I'm happy to do whatever you want. And there was kind of a pause. And she's like, okay. Well, you know, let me know. And I was like, okay. And I put down the phone. I'm like, oh, my God. Wait, might I just not do this and kind of go out on my own? And at the same time, I'd kind of been thinking about the idea of launching an agency, because at the end of the day, there are talent agencies. There are talent agencies for everything in the world.
But there isn't one for auctioneers.
There are no talent agencies for auctioneers.
Right.
It crystallized about 2 weeks later when I was at the one gala that I go to that I don't take the auction for. And I watched this auctioneer who I've probably sent 15 auctions to over the years get on stage, and my husband was sitting next to me, and he leaned over. He's like, well, no wonder you have so much business. And I'm watching this guy who, by all accounts, his own included, he is fabulous at this job, absolutely suck the energy out of the crowd. Oof. Like, if you've ever been to a charity auction, the one thing I will tell you is nobody wants a charity auctioneer on stage. So the last thing you want to do as a charity auctioneer is be on stage. And you want to promise everyone the minute you get up there that you're getting off. Like, right. That is like the key to charity auctioneering. And this guy started when the appetizer went down and was still on stage when dessert was placed. And he only was, I mean, for me, if you had three lots and a paddle raise, I would be off stage in 15 minutes. I mean, we're an hour in at this point. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, how could I have given my brand equity, which I have been so protective of? Like, if you're a client of mine, I take care of you.
Yeah.
I get on that stage. There's not a dollar left in the room. And you know that. You've seen that. I am like, I get on that stage. I'm like, I am not off until we hit your goal plus.
Yeah.
That is the way I feel up there. And I'm watching this and I'm like, there is a huge white space for me to fill with people that I know are really good at this.
Yeah.
And I can put my name on that and feel good about that because I've trained the last 12 classes of charity auctioneers from Christie's. And I can also source talent because I know what it takes to be good on stage.
Yeah.
And so that was really like, that was the night that the seed was there. And then I was on the podcast for the woman who's the CEO of Barstool Sports randomly 2 weeks after that. And again, things always happen in a way that they should. And kind of towards the end of the podcast, it was a meandering podcast at best. I mean, I can't even tell you what we were talking about. And at the end, she goes, by the way, do you have an agent? And I said, yeah, I have a speaking agent. She's like, no, that's not what I meant. And I said, I have a talent manager. Is that what you're talking about? And she's like, no, I mean, for auctioneering, do you have an agent?
Yeah.
And I said, no, but I'm launching an auctioneering agency. And you can listen to this podcast because as the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing right now? And it was like blowing up everything, right, in this moment. And then I very clearly laid out exactly what I knew I wanted to do.
Wow.
And after the cameras went off, Erica looked at me and she said, I haven't told anyone that I'm doing that except my husband. And she said, do you want me to take it out? And I said, no, when does this run? She goes, probably 2 or 3 weeks. And I was like, keep it in. And I literally walked out and I called the woman who designed my website. Her name's Cody. Her company's called Loki Times Two, and she's unbelievable. And I said to her, I'm going to launch an auctioneering agency and I need you to pull the brand identity together. It needs to be blue and it needs to be blue and green. I'm going to send you the dress that I know that it should look like. I don't know why. I have this Lila Rose dress and there was something about the Kelly green.
Yeah.
Because green's the color of money, which is what you raise when you're an auctioneer. And I sent it to her and I was like, figure this out. These are the colors. And within the day, it was all back to me. And literally 2 weeks later, I was on my way to take an auction. I was walking down Tribeca. The sun was like shining and I was just like, I'm going to launch it tomorrow. And I just launched it. And it was just the most amazing experience. I sent an email to Christie's that night at that auction. And I said, you know, it's been an honor and a privilege. And I wish you well, cheering you on from afar, which I do.
Yeah.
I always will. But yeah. It was just such an incredible moment. I'll never forget it.
Ugh. Well, I love that you just said, fuck it. And you had 2 weeks to do it. That's,
yeah.
I had 2 weeks to get my bag.
I remember you saying that when you came on my podcast. I remember it. And I think that also goes to the fact that you're in the right place. Like, I didn't have any doubt at that point.
It's just because of our networking, Lydia.
Totally. It's exactly it. That is it, if you're listening.
Oh,
but it is true. I think if you really feel something deeply, you jump in.
Yep.
You know?
So your book, Claim Your Confidence. There are so many women who don't have confidence.
I know. Yeah.
And or you do have confidence and then you go into the comments section of Grub Street and they tell you you have an eating disorder and mm-hmm. you're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I humorously reference that because I just found out about my eating disorder that I didn't know I had.
That's great. Thanks, Grub Street.
Well, it's the commentators. So what can women learn from this book? Like, give me a snippet of like what you've discovered and how do you stay up if you're already confident and then you get taken down.
Yeah, absolutely. God, it happens to all of us. First of all, I want to say one thing that I will repeat endlessly, that people believe you when you tell them who you are. I find it incredible how many times women stand in front of me and tell me how bad they are at everything. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've been there too. It always, for me, is when I get off stage. Oh, I could never do what you do. I can never public speak. I hate selling things and on and on and on. And I'm looking at these people like, you know, I believe every word you say because you're your own best salesperson and you are literally underselling yourself with every word that comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to me right now, what I ask you to do is think about the words you're using to describe yourself.
Yep.
I learned it, and you will learn this because you wrote a book called Superwoman, but I wrote a book called The Most Powerful Woman in the Room is You. And as soon as I did that, all of a sudden, every Power Women's Summit in the United States of America, I was on that short list.
Yep.
Right? And if I wasn't there, people were like, I went to a Power Women's Summit and you weren't sitting, like, I don't understand. Why weren't you there? Who am I to say that I'm powerful?
Right.
But I put the words in everyone's mouth and they use them when I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
What a lesson in life. So choose the words you use about yourself very carefully. I think being confident isn't when success is happening. Being confident comes when you put yourself out there and you try a million different things and half of them don't work and you think about it, you tell your friends about it, you laugh it off, and then you keep moving forward. But you're not going to be confident if you just do the same thing day in, day out, and it all works because that's easy. And
yep.
When things go wrong, that's when it's not easy. And if you don't know what that looks like because you haven't tested yourself, you're going to have a hard time being confident. But I will also say building up that nerve, which is really what Claim Your Confidence is about. It talks about like things you can do to control yourself. You can't control your environment. And so when you get the person who makes a nasty comment like that on Grub Street, if you've spent the time building yourself and building that internal confidence, it's okay.
Right.
You'll read that and be like, whatever. I had a woman who I think I know. I'll be honest. I don't know who she is to this day. I was in Michigan with my family, and we were at a house that didn't have any internet or TV. So I hadn't seen the TV in over a week. I was with my parents. I had my kids. My husband had torn his Achilles. So we were literally in a body of water with three young children.
Oh,
so you
gosh.
Can imagine how much time I was spending doing literally nothing but just making sure my children were alive and not in the water. And I will never forget. I said to my mom, like, can you just take a quick picture, like a stupid picture for me for Instagram because I need something because of the algorithm, like keep the algorithm up. You know, and I posted a picture of me sitting on the back porch. And I think it was something that I'd found on Google that was like nature Instagram caption. Like that's where my day was at that point. And it was something like, you know, I guess I like nature if you include like drinking a cocktail on the porch or whatever. There was water in my glass. Right. Hello, Instagram, you know. And the next day I wake up. And at that point, I had two phones. I had my Christie's phone, which I'd had for 24 years. I'd had all of my contacts. And then I had this like burner phone, which I would sometimes give to people. But it was just so that I always had a working phone more than anything. And on my burner phone, I didn't have anyone's names. It was just like numbers, whatever. There was a picture, and it was basically that picture that had been screenshot. And it said something like, "Do you think she even reads the goddamn news?" With my picture. So clearly somebody I knew was sending this to someone else I knew that had obviously sent it to me by mistake. And you can imagine like how awful that would make you feel. And I looked at it and I was like, oof, that person's in a bad place. And so I texted the person back and I said, actually, we don't have a TV in this house, but I suspect this wasn't meant for me anyway. And then I got this long paragraph back that said, "Lydia, I am so sorry, but between like the flooding in Rye and the wildfires in Texas and Roe versus Wade, I feel like I just can't get a handle on what's going on in the world." And I, you know, it was just like this whole litany. And I texted her back and I said, "Listen, to be honest, I don't even know who this is and I'm not going to look for your number because I don't really care. But the three things that you've just said are totally unrelated and have nothing to do with me. I think you should just turn off your TV and go for a walk. That's my honesty."
Seriously, I mean, there's always something on fire. So are you not allowed to enjoy your life?
Exactly.
Like, give me a break.
Exactly.
Okay.
But my point in saying that was like, there was nothing about that even affected me. Right. I literally saw it. That would have brought me to my knees in my 20s.
Right.
It would have brought me to my knees because I wasn't in a place where I had built up enough confidence to feel okay with something like that and realize that that had nothing to do with me.
Right.
Like the person who writes something like that about you is probably having a bad weight day. They feel uncomfortable in their own skin and that's why they wrote that. So that's what Claim Your Confidence is about. And now I feel like I live so fully in my skin that I see things, I see negative things, I hear things that people don't like and I'm like, well, that's just who I am.
Yep.
I'm not going to change. I'm on my own path. If you don't want to be on it, that's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm going to find people like Rebecca, who I love, and I'm going to go sit with her at a podcast for half an hour and talk because this is the kind of thing I love to do.
Yeah.
And that means that I don't spend time texting people nasty things about people because I'm not watching anyone else's path anymore. I did that and I'm done with that. And that's what Claiming Your Confidence is about.
Oh my God. Drop the mic, girl.
Drop that mic. There you go, ladies.
I love that you just said that you're on your own path and you're not watching others. You know, mm-hmm. I thought of a book title yesterday. I was like, it's going to be called Put Your Blinders On.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I mean, absolutely. I don't think I'll ever write another book again.
Why?
I don't know. It was painful.
It's hard to write a book. It is.
But I was like, we have to put blinders on to like what people say, what people think, mm-hmm. you know, what they're doing, how they got there. Yeah. It's good to know how they got there, but it's not how you're going to get there.
No.
And so I was just like, I love that you said that because it's your path, it's your journey, and fuck everybody else.
Yeah, it's true. And it's not even, you know, all that stuff comes from a place of envy. It comes from a place of hurt or pain that they're seeing something that they're not getting on their own. Mm-hmm. My favorite quote in the world is comparison is the thief of joy. Mm. And anytime I find myself on Instagram having that feeling where I'm like, why are all those pretty girls in Charleston, South Carolina, having a dinner party and I'm not there. And I'm like, okay, first of all, I don't know any of those people. Second of all, I'm not in Charleston. What on earth is going on in my head that would bring me to that?
Yep.
And you realize like that is social media. And totally. That's when you have to put your phone down and walk away, you know, because it can make you a little crazy.
It can make you a little crazy. I agree. So I don't want this to end.
I know. I feel the same way.
But they'll be like, 30 minutes? These bitches have been talking for 40 and my Peloton workout is over.
I know, seriously. But then they won't put it down because they will be fascinated.
Oh, riveted.
Riveted. Riveted.
Where can people get Claim Your Confidence mm-hmm. and your agency, all the handles?
Yeah,
all the places.
I'll give it all to you. Lydia Finette is my Instagram handle, and it's where I live my life. It's a full update of everything I'm doing at all points. So if anyone in my family needs to find me, they can find me, and they know where I am, and they feel like I'm safe and doing fun things. That's the truth. And it's also fun because I take you behind the scenes at all the auctions, and there's a lot of different random things that happen in my life. So you get a little bit a peek into that. You know, because Rebecca's been on my podcast, Claim Your Confidence with Rock Center. We talk a lot about confidence and cool, amazing women and the things they're doing and confidence dating. things that they've had along the way. And then Claim Your Confidence, the book, and The Most Powerful Woman in the Room is You, you can buy anywhere. But go to an independent bookstore. I just did a speech up in Greenwich yesterday. Diane's Books always has signed copies, or Garden District Bookstore down in New Orleans is another one that I love. So find the independent bookstores, Beacon Hill Books too.
And your agency, what type of talent do you want to attract?
Well, right now I'm fine. I have 12 auctioneers, so I feel like I'm in a holding pattern. I will likely do tryouts for my agency again either this summer or this fall.
Can that be a TV show, please?
No, I don't want to do TV. Please. I've been asked. I know. Everybody's
– How good would that be to like watch the auctioneers try out and then go on stage, and how much money did you – it would be amazing.
I know. Well, maybe. You heard it here. Rebecca Minkoff and I will executive produce it together. To be honest, right now am at a place where I have 12 auctioneers and everyone has work, which is really the idea. But more than anything, I don't want to scale it too quickly without making sure that the auctioneers are trained and I feel really good about who's going on stage. But if you are a nonprofit, you work with a nonprofit, you have a nonprofit, please feel free to reach out if you're ever looking for an auctioneer. I have auctioneers all over the country. As I said, I've trained them all, so I know how good they are. And I know that they will help you raise more than you thought you were going to. And they advise from the first day to the minute they go on that stage, and they all come with a lot of charisma, a little comedy.
And you want them to stay on stage.
And I want them to stay on stage.
No, like you're training people that like the audience is like, oh, good.
Yes, exactly.
And I can attest to that because I've seen you in motion. And I'm like, I don't want her to get off the stage.
But they don't stay on too long, I promise. That's also part of the training.
So before we wrap, a piece of advice you'd like to leave listeners with, unless you feel like you gave it already.
I would say to everyone out there, there are two pieces of advice in this. First and foremost, surround yourself with people who are successful in life, who are on the path that you're on, because you will find that those people are lifting you up and never trying to tear you down. Mm-hmm. People who are doing what they want to do in life are the people you should be part of, because you will get such good energy from that. And I say that sitting across from you, because I feel like that you are that person. And I know
I am that person.
I know you are that person. But I want to say I know we are over time right now, but I had Morgan Hutchinson from Shop Buru or from Buru on my podcast yesterday. And she told me a story about you that I didn't know, that you were the person who gave her big break. I don't know if you know that or not, but that you were the person who she went to market with this idea about her website for motherhood and, you know, getting in front of brands, that you took her into, as she described it, the bungalow 8 of market. And you said to everyone, like, give her whatever she wants. And as a result of that, that is the reason that other people gave her business. So you are a huge part of her story. So find people like Rebecca Minkoff in your life. That's number one. And also, just live the life you want. Don't worry about what other people said. From Rebecca's book, keep your blinders on, look forward, and just live life to the fullest, because it doesn't last forever. Yep. I know that from the accident. It can end really quickly. So do what you want to do, and do it with joy and enthusiasm, and just claim your confidence.
That's right, girl.
Thank you for having me on, Rebecca.
Thank you for being on. It was good to see you.
You too.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.